What was Arjuna's fault?
He had attachment in the misplaced attachment.
So he was thinking, Swajana, right? He was, Swajana means he was immediate family member. So he was attached to his immediate family members. Or, grandfather, or, brothers, all this, cousins and all. So that was his weakness. So he was not ready to
fight.
And who was giving the instruction for him to fight?
Krishna.
He is the father of the religion himself, right? So he was not ready to follow the religion. Whatever Krishna is saying, it's religion. But he was not ready to follow that religion or that instructions. So then what happened? After that, what happened? End of first chapter?
Arjuna was confused. Then he surrendered to God.
So at the end of first chapter, he gave many reasons. We'll not discuss all the reasons. So he gave all the reasons, but finally he was more confused. Then he gave up his bow and arrow, right? He sat down. It's almost like crying, literally he was crying. Then 4 to 9, after even Krishna scolds him, then 4 to 9, that section, again Arjuna starts giving some more reasons. There's one more reason, right? After that he gives in that particular section, that he doesn't want to fight still. Then from verse 10 to 30, where we stop, that's about Sankhya philosophy. And what does Sankhya philosophy talk about? Anybody remembers? We discussed this one. Sankhya philosophy, can you recall anybody?
Is this the one, you're not the body?
Yeah, especially it's about the soul. You're analyzing. So Krishna gives many reasons, right? You are not the body, then characteristics of the souls. So he was analyzing the whole soul. He took the soul that you are not different from soul, you are not a body. Then he told soul is this. Then he gave the characteristics of the soul. It cannot be withered, it cannot be cut, it cannot be burned. Like many reasons he gave. So that's considered a Sankhya philosophy. It's basically analyzing the soul. So that was the section we discussed, 10 to 30. Basically difference between spirit and matter. Or body and soul, Sankhya philosophy, it differentiates. And also we discussed Krishna was trying to defeat Arjuna, right? Like whatever Arjuna gave the reasons, so Krishna was trying to defeat. So what all arguments Krishna gave? We discussed, I think, Krishna gave total 4 arguments to defeat Arjuna's questions.
So one is if it is soul, then you don't have to worry, you are killing the body.
So that is, basically he was talking about the eternality of the soul. Right, it's always eternal, we cannot kill the soul. You are basically killing the body, or you are destroying the body.
Yeah, body, even if you don't kill, it's going to go.
Yeah, so that was one of the reasons, right? Sure to, once the person takes birth, is sure to die. So even if you don't kill them, they're destined to die, because that's how it is, the material body. You take birth, you're sure to die. So that was one of the arguments. One is eternality, and one is this. What's the next one?
Even if it is material, even if there is no soul, then what is there to die? It's just a matter of bag of some chemicals, bulk of chemicals.
So Krishna defeats saying, if body is made up of chemicals, right, then why you should be worried? It's just a chemicals. Chemical doesn't have life, right? So that was one of the reason. That was, I think, text 26. That was the point Krishna was making. If body is made up of chemicals, then why to lament? You don't have to lament.
Right.
Then what's the other one? 28. There is one more reason. It's in 28.
So they are unmanifest in the beginning, only in the interim part they seem as if they are manifest, but they are going to go into unmanifest form, unmanifest condition.
So what's the example Prabhupada uses to explain like that, right?
I think this is the whole objective of that is to say that this is negligible. Whatever we are living now, is in when compared to eternity, it is negligible, so don't have to worry about this. Okay?
No.
Ether,
like,
ether and the air, right?
Yeah. Basically manifest and unmanifest. That's correct. Whatever you said, the point. Those points are correct. So Prabhupada uses building, right?
Skyscraper.
Skyscraper. So basically we take all the material, like cement, earth, whatever. So that's, the building is unmanifest at that point of time. Then you take all the ingredients, you build things. So then you see a building, nice building, manifesting. Then the building may say 50 years or 100 years based on, you know, the lifespan. After that again, it dwindles and it is, again it goes back to the earthly elements, earth, water, it gets disintegrated. So again it becomes unmanifest, you don't see it. So same thing is saying, living entity also it's like that. It takes birth, then it grows, you manifest a form, particular form based on your karma. Then again after that it disintegrates the body. So it, there is no lamentation, again you don't have to lament.
In some places it's also given seed and the tree, right? Somewhere.
Like a banyan tree, I think he mentions also.
Yeah. Seed and
it will be in the seed form.
Seed form.
Then when you water properly, then it grows as a tree.
Then
after that life span, it again goes. So yeah, that's also example you can use. Okay, then main, the other one, 29, text 29 is called as?
Amazing verse.
Amazing verse.
Why was that? It's called amazing verse, right, 29? Why is it called amazing?
Because it's Ashtaniyat. I'm amazed by it.
Some few reasons? Why everybody?
The way you see, the way you describe, the other people are seeing, they feel soul is amazing.
So why first reason it's amazing? Why soul is amazing? Soul itself is amazing. So why is that?
Well, it's so complex we can't understand. That's why it's amazing.
And in this particularly, Prabhupada mentions, even
atomic soul,
it's so small, you first of all you won't be able to see it. And even if you see it in, for example, ant also, right? If you take a small ant, same soul, it animates the body. Then you take a big elephant, it's there, the same size, it's not that, you know, elephant has a bigger soul. It's not, it's the same soul. But it animates the body of the elephant. That's why the soul is amazing. And the, of course, as the size, what's the size of the soul?
One tenth of the tip of the hair.
One tenth of the hair. That's small. So that's why it's amazing. We cannot, you know, it's so atomic, you cannot be able to see it actually. But it controls the whole thing, right? It controls the whole body, elephant body or ant body. But if the soul is not present, even if that small thing is missing, then the body is considered as dead body, right? All, everything is there, but only the consciousness is missing from the body. So, and what's the second reason, or the second amazing about it? First is soul itself, right? The second was the people who hear, right?
Mm.
Who hear about the soul.
Who hear, describe and...
Because they are amazing. That person who does that also is amazing because they are very rare.
Special.
Because they have taken the path of spiritual life and you find very rare people. Like, you know, it's very rare to find people who have really taken the effort to know about the spirituality. Do you agree that very few people take into spirituality? Right?
Yeah.
Out of so many 6 billion people, 7 billion people. And you see only few people, like, you know, you can pick actually. And anyway, Bhagavad Gita Krishna also says that it's only, you know, 1 in 1,000,000 take into spirituality. He says 1 in 1,000,000 take into spirituality. But even in that number, only one will attain him. Means one will make that endeavor to understand him. So it's that rare. And I always, you know, it's more easy if, you know, give analogy. Basically, how many people there is? There is a diamond shop, right? I don't know whether it's in Seattle there. Yeah? Some real genuine diamond shop. How many people walk into the diamond shop? Very rare, right? It's very rare. So like that spiritual life is also like diamond shop. Only less people, you know, travel through that. Otherwise, most of the people, we all go to different shops to check out.
That. Even if some people end up going there, it's only out of curiosity.
Yeah, that's true. That's why Krishna says, 1 million come to spiritual life. Yeah. After that, only rare people will attain it. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, very window shopping. Then the next one was also about the matter itself, right? The describing the soul. That's also very special. Right? The matter, right? The Prabhupada talks is the easiest process to understand subject matter of the soul. You can read, yeah. We'll go through. Yeah, I think that's kind of a general overview of second chapter. So now we'll start from text. We covered text 30th also. That's the end of Sankhya philosophy. So now we'll go to text 31. You don't have. Anand Prabhu, you also don't have Bhagavad Gita? Okay, let me.
It's there on the table.
So we can share.
No,
we have Bhagavad Gita here on the gift shop.
On the table, how many books?
Just give 3 or 4. That's okay. Mataji, if you want chair,
you
can give it. It's more comfortable. It's there, empty chair.
Is the next section where Krishna now talks in terms of prescribed duties or fruitive activities. So far he talked in jnana, right? Like Sankhya Yoga, as Prabhu was mentioning. So now it's the next section, 31 to 38, is about fruitive activities or no? Fruitive activities means, anybody knows the meaning of fruitive activity?
Activities.
Basically, activities you perform
for
the desire to enjoy the
outcome.
So basically, expectation. To do something and you expect something.
Typically, all our activities are in that realm. Actually.
Every time.
Yeah.
What is in it for me?
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
No. Yeah. No. That's perfect. Yeah. What is in it for me? Okay, so we'll do text 31. We'll recite Sanskrit together twice. So we'll repeat it one more time. Swadharma api chakeshya na vikramasi dharma yati yudhishthira anya kshatriyasya na vidyate. Let's do it again. Swadharma api chakeshya na vikramitam arasi क्षत्रियस्य न विद्यते. अमित कैन बी
कंसीडरिंग योर स्पेसिफिक ड्यूटी एज ए क्षत्रिय यू शुड नो दैट देयर इज नो बेटर एंगेजमेंट फॉर यू देन फाइटिंग ऑन रिलीजियस प्रिंसिपल्स एंड सो देयर इज नो नीड फॉर हेजिटेशन. परपोर्ट: Out of the 4 orders of social administration, the 2nd order for the matter of good administration is called Kshatriya. Caste. What is it?
Shat
means herd. One who gives protection from harm is called Kshatriya. Trayate. To give protection. The Kshatriyas are trained for killing in the forest. A Kshatriya would go into the forest and challenge a tiger face to face and fight with the tiger with his sword. When the tiger was killed, it would be offered the royal order of cremation. This system has been followed even up to the present day by the Kshatriya kings of Jaipur state. The Kshatriyas are specially trained for challenging and killing because religious violence is sometimes a necessary factor. Therefore, Kshatriyas are never meant for accepting directly the order of sannyasa or renunciation. Non-violence in politics may be a diplomacy, but it is never a factor or principle. In the religious law books, it is stated.
You can read the English translation.
English? In the battlefield, a king or kshatriya, while fighting another king, envious of him, is eligible for achieving the heavenly planets after death, as the Brahmanas also attain the heavenly planets by sacrificing animals in the sacrificial fire.
So, one second. So, is that interesting point Prabhupada is making in the purport? So what is he saying here? Like this particular paragraph we read in the battlefield. What is he saying? What's the punch point in that?
Even the humans are animals.
Religious violence is okay.
Acceptable, it looks like.
Yeah.
For?
Kshatriya.
Oh, yeah. So that is. So basically, it's a varna. Prabhupada is describing the varnashrama system, right? There is what is varna and ashrama, right? That's varna is social. I always get confused too when I describe.
Namani.
So ashrama is?
Ashrama is...
it's based on your... not a duty, so...
Like...
okay, let me put it this way. So varna, right? Four varnas and four ashramas. I should have got the definition, proper definition. So four varnas is...
Brahmana,
Kshatriya,
Vaishya
and Shudra. That's a four.
Based on the occupation.
And ashrama is?
Based on ages.
What are four ashramas? Yeah. What are four ashramas?
Brahmachari,
Grihastha, Varnashrama. No, not Varnashrama. Vanaprastha and Sannyas. So in this, Prabhupada is talking about, especially about Kshatriya. Kshatriyas belong to one of the duty, which based on the duty or occupation.
Mm.
So even if they kill on the battlefield, even if they die, so they attain heavenly planets. And the Brahmanas who perform their duties, Brahmanas are not supposed to kill. Right? They have to perform all the pujas, everything. If they do it properly, they also go to the same heavenly planet. So the result is, even if you are in different varna, if you perform your occupational duties properly, you will get the same result. That's the point Prabhupada is making it very clear. So we never should try to jump like varnas. My occupational duty is something. I cannot be like, for example, I know for sure I have fighting spirit a little bit. Means I always try to, you know, end up in trouble. You know, poke people or something like that. I know I'm not like a Brahminical quality culture. So if I try to become artificially a Brahmana, like go and do pujas, you know, all that thing, then of course, you know, I will be messing up things. I will not get the same goal or whatever the attainment, spiritual attainment, I will not get it. Basically, I'm crossing the area field and going to different field.
There are two verses in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says this point, like one should perform one's duty even if imperfectly, and compared to doing others' duty even if you can do it perfectly. Because just doing your duty is the one which gives you purification.
Let's see, I think 40.
I wrote down. You wrote reference to
book? Yeah, let's see. Yeah, 847.
847.
18th chapter, 47th verse.
18th?
Yeah, 18th.
My friend has a question. Who gets to cook?
Who gets to?
So
everybody should be trying.
My question is, I think what you said really applies in the current world.
Mm.
Since different people come, they fall under different categories among the four. They still have to perform duties outside of their boundaries. But if they perform some of those duties within their boundary, I think
it will help them.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Closer to. Yeah, at least you will be path on the spirit. But Prabhupada, I think we discussed.
How do you identify your. Yeah.
That's
you
the
know thing. You have the fighting spirit.
No,
yeah, that's the difficulty.
There's a blanket statement they made. It's the Shastras. That in general,
Kali Yuga,
everybody is a Shudra.
Is a Shudra.
Yeah. So, for example, all of us work for somebody, right? Shudra means you have an employer and they pay you. And so, all of us begin with a Shudra. And according to the system, like devotional system, one can be trained. Essentially, you know, initially we are in all this mode of ignorance. And like these modes also are divided in, for example, Brahmanas are primarily controlled in the mode, or in the dominated by mode of goodness.
What are the
Kshatriyas,
three modes?
What
are the three modes which we are always controlled?
Goodness, passion, and ignorance.
So this ashramas are these modes define them basically. So if you are, as she was telling, if you are more in, you know, the towards mode of goodness, the brahmanas category, that's what defines brahmana. If you are more with a passion, kshatriya, because they are always ready to, you know, go for a war, all those things. But if you are more of covered with more passion,
Ignorance.
That means it's more dominates. That means it's usually we fall in. And as she mentioned, so in this Kali Yuga, most of everyone actually is born. It's always we start with the Shudra because we have that mode of ignorance. That's
the
ignorance.
Yeah, but then the point is, it's said in the I don't remember the verse exactly. Like by proper initiation and training, even a Shudra can become a qualified Brahmana. And above that is Vaishnava. So Brahmana is still within the four Varnas and Ashramas. That is kind of like material,
designation.
But Vaishnava is above the material modes, right? We always call Vaishnava as transcendental. Or we trying to be in the spiritual platform. Transcendental means spiritual platform. So Vaishnava is above the modes, actually. See, for example, there are incidents where some devotees were acting sometimes like a Brahmana, sometimes like a Kshatriya, based on the need. So, but normally, if you are supposed to be a typical Brahmana, you cannot switch like that. But devotees can be anything. Like for example, Harivilas Prabhu, you see, right? He nicely goes and cleans the restroom in the temple. At the same time, he can give classes. At the same time, he can do puja. Anything. So anything for Krishna service, he can do. So that is Vaishnava. It's not like, oh, I am a Brahmana now. We are also, you know, given Brahmanical initiation and all. You can do Gayatri and all. So it's not like, oh, now I am a Brahmana. So, you know, I just sit and give classes, but I will not do anything else. It's not like that. So the key is by proper training and initiation. Initiation, like we would probably know soon, right? We know there is initiation means formally accepting a spiritual master and getting their instructions and following them sincerely. So by that instructions, we get the power, and then gradually we get uplifted from the modes. So initially we are Shudras, mode of passion and ignorance. So gradually we will be elevated to the mode of goodness. So then we can be given Brahmanical initiation. Then we can become Vaishnava, proper Vaishnava.
So 1847, right? So it's Krishna says it is better to engage in one's own occupation, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's occupation and perform it perfectly. Duties prescribed according to one's nature are never affected by sinful reactions. So in this verse particularly, you know, that's what Krishna is telling Arjuna to do his duty as a Kshatriya. So he is not expecting Arjuna to, you know, put his bow down and go to, you know, forest. He is not expecting Arjuna to do that.
What are the duties for Shudras?
Shudras is to loyally serve the master and, you know, like basically be loyal to the master. That's their of course, the master also should be ideal master, right? Not like these days, you know, where they exploit. Masters are supposed to, you know, take care of everything needed for the their dependents. They are like dependents. For example, even nowadays, I think in Africa or maybe, especially, you know, in some American homes, they are African American ladies who serve as like a nanny or something. So they are like treated as family member pretty much.
In Africa.
Given,
yeah.
Even in India, right? Sometimes some girls stay at home and take care of things.
Yeah.
So we give them a facility to stay and education, all those things.
Yeah, it's everything is, you know, misused. At some point people start misusing. We take it for, you know, the... So also this, we can understand this Varnashrama like this. So basically the Brahmanas are considered as it, you know, like with intelligence. Basically they use intelligence. And Kshatriyas are considered as your hands, arms, to, you know, protect, fight, all those things. Vaishyas is considered as the tummy, stomach. Basically they do business. Usually Vaishyas do the business. So they feed the tummy and all. And Shudras are considered as the legs. So everything is in order, then the society can run properly, smoothly. But when something goes bad, if tummy gets upset or, you know, then of course you will not be able to function properly. But anyway, so this is, that's how Varnashrama system works. We are just discussing, so we are aware of this, you know, principles. But our philosophy is Vaishnava philosophy. It's, anyway, Krishna will overrule all. He's just giving, again, he's coming down from the Sankhya philosophies. First he was talking about Sankhya philosophy, right? Soul, everything. Some people will understand, but some people will tell, what about this duty, specific duties as, you know, Varnashrama. So Krishna is going to argue based on that one, and he's going to convince Arjuna, you know, you have to still, if you do think in Varnashrama way, still you have to fight as a duty. It's your duty to fight still. So he's defeating, but later it goes to Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga is nothing but a Vaishnava stage. Vaishnava stage, as she said, we are above all the Varnashrama. Goodness, passion, ignorance. Vaishnava stage is pure goodness. So you are not under the control of any moods. So that is the Vaishnava stage.
So for Arjuna, like, to fight with the motivation that, you know, oh, I am a Kshatriya, I have to fight, that is my duty. You know, even if I die or even if I win, it's okay. That platform is still in the material platform. But if Arjuna fights, like, so that is acting like a Kshatriya. But if Arjuna fights saying, okay, Krishna, whatever you say, I'm going to do. If you want me to fight, I'm going to fight. If you don't want me to fight, I don't want to fight. That is now acting like a pure devotee or above the modes. Right? Now we can see the difference. Like, one is material. So then you will appropriately get reactions or pious credits, like for example going to heavenly planets and things like that. Right? At the same time, if he doesn't fight, then he has to face hellish planets or reactions. But whereas if you act on behalf of Krishna, you will not get any reactions or even pious credits. So you will be completely protected by Krishna. Because Krishna says, like, you are my instrument. So instrument will not get credit and it also doesn't get debit, right? If suppose a doctor is doing an operation, nobody will blame the knife or even put the garland to the knife, right? So it's like that. Everything goes to Krishna directly.
Just one more question. If there is no true master, then whatever we are doing is not our duty, right? Because our masters are bad. So it means whatever we are doing, we are serving bad masters.
Yeah, I will give you one. Harivilas Prabhu recently told this story. So there was one guru. So he asked his disciples to build a boat with concrete, with using concrete. So they built a boat with the concrete. Spiritual master told his disciple. Then he told everybody to sit in the boat, and they all got launched. And naturally, of course, it's concrete. It sank. So then everybody went to Emaraj. Then the Emiraj was punishing the master, right? Then he punished the master, then he called the disciple. He ordered, you know, you are going to get this much reactions for you. Then he told, oh, we didn't do anything, we just followed.
We are sincerely following
the spiritual master. Then Emiraj told, he used some very funny words. You are following rascal, something like that, you know, you following somebody. So you are
responsibility whom you are following, basically. You cannot say, oh...
Blind, basically, you know, blind following.
I'm sincere in doing a wrong thing. You cannot say like that. So
you should be very careful. And of course, anyway, see, there is a triangle. It's kind of a cross check. You should always cross check. One is sadhu, shastra, and guru. So there is always 3-point check. So if somebody says, you know, I'm from particular, you know, the spiritual line or lineage, so then they should always refer to some scriptures. What does the scripture say? And also it should be confirmed by the sadhus, means other followers. So when all three check, you know, it's right, it matches, that means that's the right path you are in. If somebody says, you know, I am the spiritual master, there are so many bogus, right? But so you can always ask them, what's your reference? Where is your scripture? What did your scripture says? So you should always check with the scripture. If it's not mentioned in the scriptures, that means they are bogus. You can all easily rule out if they don't match. So this is Veda, Vedic. That's how Vedic system works. It always triangle, you should always remember. It always should be in balance.
Therefore, killing on the battlefield on religious principles and killing animals in the sacrificial fire are not at all considered to be acts of violence, because everyone is benefited by the religious principles involved. The animal sacrificed gets a human life immediately without undergoing the gradual evolutionary process from one form to another, and the Kshatriyas killed on the battlefield also attain the heavenly planets, as do the Brahmins who attain them by offering sacrifice.
So in this, one more practical point is, so right now if you go to Nepal or, you know, because that's a big animal sacrifice goes on in
there,
Nepal.
There is one festival name, right?
No, they do it every 6 years or 12 years. There is one festival. I forgot the name. Millions of, you know, cows, whatever living thing actually. Find anything living thing, they will kill. Okay. It's considered a Hindu ritual ceremony actually. Nepal is considered a Hindu kingdom, you know,
yeah.
That, right? Still it's considered a Hindu kingdom. But they follow something which is completely violence actually, like killing animals. Cows, it doesn't matter. Anything which has life kind of, other than human being, they kill in that day. Millions of they kill. But here Prabhupada is saying, if they sacrifice any animal, they should be able to give the human life for that animal. Because basically that was in the previous ages, not Kali Yuga, the previous, you know, Dwapar Yuga or all. So when they used to do sacrifice, the Brahmanas were especially trained in proper Vedic mantras. So when they used to chant that mantras, they used to sacrifice the cow. For example, if you take some old cow, right? That's what usually, you know, it's meant. They used to put the cow and they used to take out, you know, as a fresh cow or, you know, which is more calf or something, like, you know, fresh one. They used to give a new life, extended life for that particular one. But now, these days, you know, they put cow into the fire. They take out barbecue. That's what is happening. So that's what it, right? They eat. It's very bad. But this should be the standard. Anyway, Kali Yuga is nobody. You will never find anybody who can recite proper mantras. Then do that effect. Nobody has that power, right? Everybody lost in especially in the Brahmanas, right? Everything is misused.
Because we are Kshatriyas. No, we are Shudras.
Everybody is Shudras, and also, you know, it's all broken down, the system. Yeah, that's why easy way is to just, you know, follow the principles in Bhagavad Gita. That's where, see, when Krishna went out, end of Kali Yuga, Krishna disappeared from this material world. Like, he went back to the spiritual world. All the religious principles, everything, they took shelter in, do you know which, where did they took shelter? See, all the religious principles at that time, end of Dwapar Yuga, everything stopped because Kali Yuga was coming. So when Krishna disappeared, religious principles also went with him. Everything else to follow, the Krishna took or incarnated as Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's how we know the Srimad Bhagavatam gives you the, like, whoever is in ignorance, and 99% I would say everybody of us in ignorance. So we get light from Srimad Bhagavatam. basically Srimad Bhagavatam has all the pastimes and also the devotees who have led their life according to the scriptures. So when you read, right, for example, Durva Maharaj, then who else is very famous? Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, they were all, they led their life according to, you know, to satisfy and to reach the Lord. So that's why if you read all the pastimes, then you know exactly what to do in, you know, Kali Yuga, how to, you know, get out of this Kali Yuga, the effects of the modes.
So in each Yuga there are people like that. In Kali Yuga, isn't there anybody, or is there one more incarnation coming?
Like the Lord, you meant? Like Krishna?
Lord is one. We need, I suppose there is one more incarnation of the Lord coming to save us from wherever we are heading now. But isn't there like the Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, isn't there anybody in Kali Yuga like that?
Kali Yuga is Srimad Bhagavatam. Especially, that's why it's incarnation of Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is not different from Krishna.
Okay.
So he took form as Srimad Bhagavatam.
Okay. So that
it's sufficient, that is more than, yeah. Basically, it's said in Srimad Bhagavatam that Bhagavatam is more than sufficient to become God realized. You don't need anything else. And it's easy. And for us, especially, you know, Vaishnava lineage, basically there are different sampradayas. Especially the Vaishnava lineage, it's recommended that you just chant the holy name. Like the Hare Krishna mantra for us. If you just do that Hare Krishna mantra, you can get God realized. That much potent. Because in this age we have very short lifespan. You know, as you know it's a very short life. Anybody can disappear anytime. That's how it is. So because we have so short life, so we need something easier way. We cannot go do the deity worship. The temple worship that was in Treta Yuga, the sacrificial ceremonies, I think that was in Dwapar Yuga, no, Satya Yuga was sacrifice, if I remember. Basically, you need to spend so much money to do any sacrifice with pure ghee, all the other ingredients, you cannot do. And you cannot do the meditation that was in Dwapar Yuga.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know, anyway, three sides. So meditation, deity worship and sacrifice. So these three things, it takes a lot of effort to do it. Money, the manpower, or even, you know, time. You have to, some rishis, they used to sit for meditation for, I don't know,
years.
Thousands of years. Vishwamitra and all, they used to sit and meditate for thousands of years. And we have only 100 years, even that also it's already reduced, you know, 70 years, I think I read that it's 70 years kind of average. People don't live more than...
One round if we concentrate itself is great problem.
No, that's why. So that's why finally we gave the Hare Krishna mantra is given. So you don't need any of this. You just try to focus and do it. But of course it has its own mind. To control the mind.
So in addition to that, Lord himself came as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this age to inaugurate the Yuga Dharma of this age and also to show how to practice and perfect the life. Like basically how to follow the process and achieve perfection. So he showed it by his own example. But it's called, he is not revealed in so many scriptures. He is called Gupta Avatar. Like only some people know him. Because he acted like a devotee. He never wanted anybody to accept him like Vishnu, or there are many pastimes where such opulences are manifested, but that is not his primary purpose. He came because he wanted to show how to be a devotee and become perfect, because that's the main thing in Kali Yuga. So you know who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the altar? In the leftmost altar.
Leftmost, right?
Oh, the right. Balram and Krishna.
So what are the three things you said? Meditation, sacrifice, and what is the third?
The deity worship. Temple worship. Having opulent temples, you know, doing opulent deity worship.
That is the individual yoga.
No, they're recommended particularly for that yuga. People have to follow that.
But we have temple, right? Kali Yuga.
Yeah, we have.
So you said...
Yeah, but our main focus is chanting.
The way to
see Yuga Dharma is chanting the holy name.
Okay.
So even if you don't have temple, even if you have temple, you cannot replace chanting with temple worship. So this is always primary. we do temple worship because we have to get engaged. Will we be able to chant 24 hours a day? No, it's impossible. We cannot even chant 2 hours. So how will you engage the remaining time? So you engage in different, like having a temple. So once you have a temple, you are automatically, your senses gets engaged. You do all thing, like, you know, you cook, as Prabhupada, you know, you cook everything. You do all your day to day activities around the temple. You work, so you can give temple money to temple. So temple, that's how temple runs, right? Donations, grahasthas, donation. So that's why temple is also necessary to keep our senses engaged. Yeah, otherwise chanting won't work. 2 hours.
There are two kinds of swadharmas.
Swadharmas.
Specific duties. As long as one is not liberated, one has to perform the duties of his particular body in accordance with religious principles in order to achieve liberation. When one is liberated, one's swadharma, specific duty, becomes spiritual and is not in the material body concept. In the bodily conception of life, there are specific duties for Brahmanas and Kshatriyas respectively, and such duties are unavoidable. Swadharma is ordained by the Lord, and this will be clarified in the 4th chapter. On the bodily plane, Swadharma is called Varnashrama. Varnashrama Dharma, or man's stepping stone for spiritual understanding. Human civilization begins from the stage of Varnashrama Dharma, or specific duties in terms of specific modes of nature of the body obtained. Discharging one's specific duty in any field of action in accordance with the orders of higher authorities serves to elevate one to a higher status of life.
So did you guys get the point? Discharging one's specific duty in any field of action in accordance with the orders, that's important. Accordance with the orders of higher authorities. So for us, we follow the Bhagavad Gita, principles of Bhagavad Gita. So in the Bhagavad Gita, it's always said, you know, you surrender to Krishna, right? Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto, like think of Krishna always. So even I may be a Shudra, but if I try to follow the principles of Bhagavad Gita, that means I can reach higher status of life. That's what the practical point about in this one. So any platform you are, so you can gradually make a progress in spiritual life. It's not, you know, you're born as a Shudra. See, the other thing is, the misconception is, we always think if some person who is born in a Brahminical family, they are Brahmanas. So it's like, you know, caste system by birth. So that's very prevalent in India. That's how I am pretty sure we all went through. If you are born in Brahmana family, you are considered Brahmana even though you don't have any qualities. You can do all kind of nonsense, but still you will be considered as a Brahmana and people will treat you as a Brahmana. But according to Bhagavad Gita, that's wrong. The status or your Varnashrama can depend only based on your, the quality of things you do, based on the qualification, not on the birthright. So it should be always on the qualification.
So what are the two kinds of swadharmas? There are two duties, right? Prabhupada started the purport saying there are two kinds of swadharmas.
When
one is not liberated, it's based on the modes. And it's basically the bodily concept, right? Based on the bodily concept. Like, Varnashrama is in this Swadharma, where one is not liberated. But after one is liberated, his duties are spiritual duties. Right? That is also Swadharma.
So, it's So whatever, so the body, what is predominant in the body, that mode of, which,
yes.
Which mode is predominant?
Yes, for example, our spiritual master, based on the modes we are in, like they will give specific instruction. But somebody, they say, you know, you read books. Somebody, they say, you know, do service. Like that. Based on, because they know our nature. And all of these activities are Krishna conscious. It's not like, you know, if I am given a service to always wash pots, I am like lower when compared to somebody who is giving classes. Right? But it's all this Krishna service. So the other thing is, in this, Prabhupada is saying, in fourth chapter, Swadharma ordained by the Lord will be clarified. So that verse is 4.13. Chaturvarnyam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha Tasya Kartaram Abhimam Vidhi Akartaram Avyayam. Where Krishna says, according to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, so basically Guna and Karma, three modes of material nature are Guna. Right? Guna and work associated with them means Karma. The four divisions of human society are created by me. So Krishna created the Varnashrama system. And although I am the creator of the system, you should know that I am yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. That means he doesn't personally put people in certain things, like, you know, oh, okay, this person, like I'll put him in Varna, like, you know, Kshatriya, this person in Brahmana. He doesn't interfere personally with the individuals. He created a set of rules according to our own activities and our own nature. We automatically fit into one of these. So, but the main thing is, this is created by Krishna, it's not. But then, as Prabhu was saying, nowadays they changed it to based on Janma and Karma.
Instead of?
Right? If I'm born in a Brahmana family, I'm a Brahmana. Instead of what Krishna gave is Guna and Karma.
Based on my nature, that's very important.
Like, even if I'm in a Kshudra family, if my nature is in the mode of goodness, I'm actually a Brahmana. Of course, nowadays you have to be trained to become a Brahmin. For example, in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association, there is Haridas Thakur. He is in a Muslim family. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he called him Namacharya. Namacharya is the basically Acharya for the holy name. He used to chant I don't know the exact number, 192 rounds, right?
Yeah,
192 rounds every day, chanting the holy names. And almost 23 hours or 22 hours a day he used to chant. And he gave an example that it's not based on birth. Yeah, and even somebody was saying, even in ISKCON, many of the devotees are born in different backgrounds. If you see, some are born in American family, some are Indian family, some are, you know, coming from lower birth, and some are meat-eating families, all these things. One point is to show that whatever background we are from, we take up the process of devotional service, we all can be elevated.
Can be qualified.
That is not a prerequisite. Like, you know, oh, I'm in a Brahmana family, I already from childhood I recited some mantra, so, you know, I'm better equipped for this. Definitely our pious credits will help us, but that's not a prerequisite. Because devotional service itself is very powerful to help the soul quickly progress to mode of goodness and beyond.
Yeah, because the soul is independent of all this, right?
Spiritual matters.
It's a spiritual. So, but here when we identify with body, like by birth and all, that based on the material, bodily concept of life.
Mm.
So that's one point. The other point is, so Prabhupada, he gave sannyas initiation to some of the Western people. When he started, so he trained them in, you know, proper devotional service. So he gave sannyas initiations. Then when he went back to India, so people started criticizing Srila Prabhupada. How can you give sannyas initiation to Western people? They did criticize
Prabhupada.
In India, it's all based on the caste system, right? In India, it's all caste system. So they criticized Srila Prabhupada. But Prabhupada, you know, he gave scriptural reference. It should be by guna and karma, not by janma and karma. Like, you know, it's not just by janma, it should be by guna. So then, that's why the whole, you know, if you know recently, right, it's especially, you know, the Bhagavad Gita, the principle ISKCON, the principles it's trying to teach through education, food for life, there are many activities which is the ISKCON is trying to go to people. People are getting attracted. Like all of us, example, myself, forget about everybody else, myself, I got attracted by the principles. It's not, I didn't even know Srila Prabhupada. I didn't even, because he was already passed away, right? I didn't even know. But I read Krishna book, I read Bhagavad Gita. I got attracted by the principles. What's the right? And it's not that, you know, I'm a blind follower. I was an educated person, so I could, you know, differentiate things. Otherwise, I will not take easily, you know. At least few people may take blindly, you know, maybe they are under some pressure or they are put in something. But generally, we are all educated, so we should be able to differentiate. So, the principles attracts.
Okay.
That is very important. So the next one we can do, it's a small verse, so we can do one more. If you don't have any questions, we'll go. You don't have no question?
No, but you know, we have to feel it clearly. Is it time to go?
Hmm?
Is it time to go now?
We've got 5 minutes.
It's okay. You have to go a little later.
20. If you want to leave, you can leave. It's a small one. We'll do. Okay, let's do 32.
यत्रच्छोपासनम्
स्वर्गद्वर्वम् अपावर्तम् सुखीना क्षत्रिया पार्था लभन्ते युद्धं दिदृशाम् यत्रच्छोपासनम् स्वर्गद्वर्वम् अपावर्तम् सुखीना क्षत्रिया पार्था लभन्ते युद्धं दिदृशाम्
O Partha, happy are the Kshatriyas to whom such fighting opportunities come unsought, opening for them the doors of the heavenly planets. As supreme teacher of the world, Lord Krishna condemns the attitude of Arjuna, who said, "I do not find any good in this fighting. It will cause perpetual habitation in hell." Such statements by Arjuna were due to ignorance only. He wanted to become non-violent in the discharge of his specific duty. For a Kshatriya to be on a battlefield and to become non-violent is a philosophy of fools. In the Parasara Smriti, a religious course made by Parasara, the great sage and father of Vyasadeva, it is stated,
can read the English.
Satriyo hi
prajaraksha
sastrapani pratitya para sainyadi
hitam
dharmena palayet. The Kshatriya's duty is to protect his citizens from all kinds of difficulties, and for that reason he has to apply violence in suitable cases for law and order. Therefore, he has to conquer the soldiers in inimical kings, and thus, with religious principle, he should rule over the world. Considering all aspects, Arjuna had no reason to refrain from fighting. If he should conquer his enemies, he would enjoy the kingdom, and if he should die in the battle, he would be elevated to the heavenly planets, whose doors were wide open to him. Fighting would be for his benefit in either case.
Yeah, amazing.
See, remember, one of the reasons what Arjuna gives, can you relate this argument with one of the reasons Arjuna gives? What are the 5 reasons? Okay, let's see the quiz, first chapter quiz. First one is, maybe it's in your notes. Nobody got notes also.
Compassion.
Second one is no happiness. Third one is fear of sinful reactions. Fourth one is destruction of family tradition. Fifth one is indecision. So the second one is no happiness, right?
Yeah.
Where he was saying, even if I fight, even if I win the kingdom, nobody is there to share with, so there is no happiness. Even if I lose, then I'm going to die. What's the point? There is no happiness. See, now Krishna is giving exactly the opposite. He's saying if you fight and if you lose, you're going to go to heavenly planets. If you fight, if you win, you will get a kingdom.
So no loss
so
at all.
No loss at all. Arjuna said there is no gain, nothing to be gained. He said, you know, I see only causes of misfortune everywhere, right? That's what he was saying, I'm doomed either way, you know. Doomed if I die or doomed if I kill, like that. But Krishna is saying either way, you're actually going to benefit.
Think positive.
Yeah.
Huh?
Be positive.
See, one way is going to get the, if he wins, he can enjoy the kingdom, right? You'll get a big kingdom, royal kingdom, you'll enjoy. If he loses, according to this, Krishna is saying, you will attain the heavenly kingdom.
Mm.
And in the heavenly kingdom, the enjoyment is much more. Like what, you know, we generally see it, it's multiplied hundreds of times. So Krishna, you know, Arjuna is not going to lose anything. Win-win situation for him.
Yeah, it's as if like seeing, you know, half glass empty or like
exactly.
As you said, positive
yeah.
And optimistic versus pessimistic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the main gist of this one. Like, there's no loss. So, whatever, you know, it's a gain.
See, for example, there is a fire accident and the fire marshals come, right? They're supposed to be Kshatriyas. But then, or maybe not fire marshals. Like, let's say there's an attack, burglary or something, and they come with guns, everything. But then there, at that point, they will say, you know, oh, I'm not supposed to fight, you know. And like all this, then what will happen, right? Then duty they have to do, right? So Kshatriya's duty, as we, the definition of Kshatriya, we read it in earlier verse. What was that?
To fight.
Kshatriya. Kshatriya, right?
To protect from?
To protect from harm. Kshat means to harm. And Trayate means one who protects.
Protects.
So basically, if anybody is getting harmed or, you know, getting hurt, Kshatriya's duty is to protect them. So in that situation, for the war and the sake of protecting the kingdom, Kshatriyas are supposed to rule, rather fight the wars.
I'm confused, Mataji. All these Muslims are doing jihad like religious war. Are you saying that's right? That's not.
No,
right.
That basically
not in scriptures,
you should be properly
right.
Guided,
but
right?
Who are they protecting?
Yeah,
I mean.
What's
no,
the reason?
We don't know that, right? We don't know that. Here they are saying that maybe they are protecting their religion. Maybe. So
that's the thing. It's all should be guided.
It
and
should be guided.
So basically here Krishna was personally there to tell Arjuna, this is what you need to do, and there is no hesitation. So then for us now the guiding line is the scripture. Scripture, according to scripture, what we should be doing like that. Scripture
see the, yeah, so scripture, for example, Bhagavatam, right? In the, it's very clearly said, protecting
children,
right? Women, brahmanas, and invalids.
Cows.
Basically, very old cows. That's the topmost protection any person has to give. Like any, if he's a kshatriya, if he's in a government position, whatever position, you should be able to give protection to all these four categories or five cows also. But in this, as you gave example, in Afghanistan, all those things, or not even maybe Afghanistan, in Pakistan itself, the bomb goes off. So they are not even concerned about you. I think even kids get scared.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that means that it's not even according to the scriptural.
Basic, yeah.
There is no, like, you know, foundation for them. So they are doing whimsically based on, you know.
If I understand correctly, the Kshatriyas, they fight on the battlefield. They don't kill civilians.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, the,
right.
The good example is, what
Ashwatthama.
Example we can, not even Ashwatthama, like a general, you know, like if you take it as a current, this thing, soldiers.
Right, soldiers.
Like?
On the border.
Yeah.
And they go on to the battle, they kill. They don't get any punishment for that one, right? If they kill the enemy side, they don't. But if the same soldiers, you know, next day he goes to the city and he starts, you know, shooting people, he'll be held and he'll be hanged. So basically they're doing that duty according to some instructions. Like in this case, the government gives the order. Do this one, you go war, you fight. So, yeah, for
see,
this people, I don't know where, you know.
See, that's the thing, one Sarilapur was telling an incident like, most of the people, they follow that religion, blind following. It's like they are told. For example, if you die in this religious war, you are going to go to a heavenly planet where so enjoyment is there. People are so miserably suffering here. They just live with the hope that, okay, I'm going to go to a place where I can enjoy. And therefore that they are willing to give up their lives. And all the suicide bombers, all these things. It's all because of mainly blind following. It's like without questioning what is the goal and why all these things. So that's why Prabhupada also never encourages.
No blind following.
We should clearly understand, clarify our doubts. Then only we'll have proper conviction to do things and follow.
That's why we are having these groups, all the temples especially,
Education
is a must. Otherwise, one point of time, you will be misled. It's very easy to get misled. Because the miseries will come in life, no matter what. Right? Everybody has to go through problems. Anybody disagree? This place is built like that. Let me put it like, this. Its architecture is like that. Everybody has
By design.
If you don't have the right knowledge, what happens is, some person will come from somewhere. He tells, you give me this much money, I will give you some mantra, or I'll do some puja, everything will go away.
Actually, Prabhupada gave an example, like in those generation, that time, I don't know, maybe even now they do. So what these communists used to do is, they used to come to the civilian men, and they used to say, okay, you go to God, you go to temple, go and ask for bread. Okay, God give me bread, nothing is there. Okay, now you come here, you ask us, give me bread. They used to give bread. Said, okay,
we are God.
Yeah, you just follow us now.
That's how communists try, Russia and all that. That's how a lot of atheistic population is there.
But religion is much higher than, basic needs and all, right?
Yeah, that's why knowledge, the education is very important. That's why, as you are learning something, it's your imperative duty actually. It's your duty to help your friends, relatives, family members, to train them. At least to give some knowledge actually. Otherwise in India especially, one day one guru pops up. Somewhere some incarnation comes. He says, I am Kalki. And according to the scripture, Kalki comes in the end of the Kali Yuga. That's around 423,000 years. Almost, 423,000 years. That time Kalki is going to come. No, because I hear so many times, some Kalki somewhere, it comes. And they do, because they take knowledge from Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, somewhere. Everything is in Vedas. It's not that, nobody can manufacture. It's already there, everything. It's just that people take only the part of it
that they want.
They want to misuse that knowledge. Because knowledge is so powerful. That's why knowledge is very, very powerful. It's very commonly, its pen is more mightier than whatever the sword or something. So that's how powerful it is. Basically, now what I can do is, whatever I learnt, I can take all this, whatever I have in mind. I'm a Kalki for the it's very easy. That's why. But other person, that's why we have to propagate the knowledge. Tell your friends, relatives, share, talk your kids, train your kids, because they are our future. So that's, it's our responsibility. Yeah, that's why we discuss every week. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll do one round of japa. 8:30 now. So.